Hey everyone, it's Colin. How's it going? So you've probably seen, it's been kind of a big deal lately, the trailer for the new Matrix movie, Matrix Resurrection, aka The Matrix 4. And I remember when that trilogy first came out, I was actually a really big fan of it, at least for the most part. The original movie came, it was this really new novel idea and way of filmmaking, and it was compelling, and it kind of shook up what was going on, you know, in the movie scene at the time. And then Reloaded came out, the second movie, and everyone, you know, kind of felt like, all right, this is the middle movie, but it's setting things up for, you know, perpetuating the trilogy. Because whenever you get the first movie in a trilogy, a lot of times they end that first movie like in case it doesn't do well at the box office, then they can just kind of end it cleanly there. It was the same thing with Back to the Future, right? The original Back to the Future kind of ends on a note that could go either way. And I felt like the first Matrix movie, you know, did the same thing. It's kind of a safe bet for them to do. Ultimately, you know, Reloaded, I think, was really good. And it kept moving the story forward. I know a lot of people didn't think it was the best movie, but I liked it. And then Revolutions comes along and it just totally ruins the franchise, at least for me. And this whole thing, actually this arc, you know, with the first three movies for The Matrix really sounds a lot like what the latest Star Wars trilogy kind of has been. Maybe there's some parallels there, but anyway. So now we've got The Matrix 4. And, you know, for someone who was pretty into The Matrix, and I'm not just going to pick on The Matrix here, because we've also got Ghostbusters, right? Ghostbusters, the first movie, and then there was the follow-up, and then now, you know, a sequel many years later, and then now I guess there's another new sequel that's going to be coming out as well. I'm finding these days that I just don't care. I just don't care about these new movies. And I remember I did a podcast episode a while back, kind of along the same lines with regard to Star Trek. I, years ago, was just super huge into Star Trek, right? I grew up watching Next Generation. Deep Space Nine was my favorite TV series ever. I even got into Voyager for a while when it first came out. And then, you know, Seven of Nine, and it just kind of devolved from there as it became clear that the writers didn't know what they were doing. And the latest movies for Star Trek, just no thank you. They look like, you know, a Marvel movie just set in space. And these latest series, same thing. I don't care. And I've been sitting here wondering, like, why? Why is all of this new mainstream media really not resonating with me, especially when it's a franchise that I previously was really interested in? Like, I could understand, you know, maybe one franchise making a decision, you know, maybe Star Trek goes its different direction and I don't like it. And okay, fine. So I kind of part ways, but I liked Ghostbusters and I liked The Matrix, and why don't I like their new movies either? Why don't I have any interest in them? And I got just thinking even bigger scale about the nature of entertainment and where the industry is at. And what I'm realizing really is that it's an industry, right? I mean, they call it the entertainment industry for a reason, but I feel like previously there was always this split between entertainment and industry, where the main purpose of it, the driving force behind it, was to provide entertainment, was to be some sort of good artistic thing. And the industry part was really just to put some kind of framework to it so that the people who were good at it could make a living from it. Now I feel like it's completely flip-flopped, where the industry is really the driving force, the point of making money off of this media, and all of the talent and the art and everything like that kind of comes second, right? The industry, I think, is under the impression that just because this stuff exists should be enough for you to be interested in it, right? Like, oh, you should go see the new Ghostbusters movie because there's a new Ghostbusters movie. Never mind the fact whether it's good or not. And I think that's really also kind of why we've been seeing so many like remakes or sequels or quasi remake sequel kind of things. Like with the Ghostbusters movie, apparently it doesn't really involve any of the original cast. None of this really should be spoilers, but my understanding, it's like just kind of the premise continues on and it's a new crop of Ghostbusters that, you know, come of age and learn how all this stuff works and that sort of thing. So it's, they're perpetuating the storyline, but at least they're not rebooting it. Still, I feel like the industry is really just kind of using these familiar concepts and franchises as the hook to bring you in. But what I'm also wondering is, okay, so that's like the immediate thing, right? And yes, in the new Matrix movie, like Keanu Reeves is in it and that sort of thing. So there's some familiar faces there. But as we get further and further removed from the founding cast members or founding characters or founding storylines that made those franchises popular to begin with, what's going to be the thing that keeps people showing up, right? Like even in the latest Star Wars trilogy, there were still familiar faces, right? You had Han Solo, you had Chewbacca, you had Princess Leia and Luke Skywalker and all of them. Like there was some kind of hook to bring the old school Star Wars fans to maybe at least consider wanting to go watch those movies. What's going to be the hook for new generations of people as time goes on and those characters, especially, you know, as the actors themselves die, but as the characters, you know, fade away and new ones take their place, are there going to be new stories or is it just going to be kind of the same thing repeating over and over and over again to the point where the original concept becomes almost abstract? And that's where I fear like Star Trek is going, especially with kind of some of these new series that don't really fit in. Like Lower Decks is this animated series and it's all based on comedy. Like I can understand maybe them trying to work some, and I'm going to be fair, I haven't watched any of it, but I understand the premise behind it, you know, that they can fit some in-universe kind of stuff in there, but that's such a departure from the way Star Trek stories have been told. And the fact that it's a comedy series makes me question just how much new canon can be added to the universe, if you know what I mean. Like, if it's a comedy series, are you really going to take it all that serious, even to its legitimacy as to bringing new content, you know, to the franchise? And then the same thing with the kids' Star Trek show called Star Trek Prodigy. I looked at some of the like the artwork for that, some of the initial artwork, and that one's animated as well. I looked at that and I went, is this the Star Trek thing or is this just like new characters in Fortnite? Like they legit didn't look like they belonged in that universe. And apparently the storyline is that it's a bunch of kids that find a derelict Starfleet ship. Like everything we've been led to believe with how the Federation and Starfleet operate is that they generally have their shit together. Why would there be a derelict, just random Starfleet ship floating around out there? It'd be like someone finding a random Air Force, you know, US Air Force plane just sitting out in a field and it's perfectly usable. They just left it there. Like that doesn't make sense. It just, And so I think it's a lot of this stuff kind of accumulating to the point where between these just kind of increasingly disjointed spinoffs and reboots and everything that we've been seeing, plus the overall, I think, reliance on special effects and, wow kind of things, not so much really good foundational storytelling, but just the flashiness of it. It's really turning me off to primary, you know, like popular media, like mainstream kind of stuff. And what I'm finding is I just don't watch TV anymore. And the last movie I watched was the final movie of the three Star Wars, you know, that new trilogy. And just like everyone else, I'm like, this movie sucks. Although I will say I actually liked Rogue One. I know it's an unpopular movie for some reason with a lot of Star Wars fans, but I actually really liked Rogue One, maybe because it was different, because it kind of fit in this little pocket of the universe. It was all new characters for the most part, but it's a storyline that you both did and didn't see coming, if you know what I mean. Like, it's one of those where it ends in a bittersweet kind of a way, and that's different, and I liked that. It could have actually been set in another universe. It didn't necessarily have to be a Star Wars movie. Like, they could have changed the character names and some of the terminology, and it could have worked as just a standalone sci-fi movie. Maybe that's why I liked Rogue One, but it didn't jive with a lot of other people. Where am I going now when it comes to entertainment? And that's the thing. I'm finding that really all I'm doing is just watching YouTube, at least when it comes to like visual entertainment, or maybe the occasional like documentary that I find here or there. And I'm thinking about like, why am I going in that direction? And I think it's because, at least of the majority of channels on YouTube that I watch, the term entertainment industry doesn't really apply. Because in one way, it's not really entertainment. Everything that I watch on YouTube is all educational to some extent. I'm learning something with pretty much every video that I watch, right? None of it is, hey, let's just do stupid things for a laugh. I mean, sometimes those videos are nice just as, you know, a bit of a break from watching other kind of content. But otherwise, it's all meaningful content. It's all work that people put into their videos to express information and try to help other people other than just give them a laugh or give them a distraction, you know, that sort of thing. And then the same thing with the industry part. Practically all of the channels that I watch are independent channels where it's just the content creator doing all of the work themselves. Occasionally I'll watch, you know, some channels where like maybe they've got a hired on editor. You know, maybe they're kind of at that point where they've got like one other person that helped them with production or that sort of thing. But, you know, the vast majority of the channels I watch, they're under 1 million subscribers. They're all somewhat technically oriented, that sort of thing. And I'm finding that kind of material just really refreshing because other than the occasional, you know, embedded ad that they may do, you know, this video is sponsored by this random mattress company or something like that, that, you know, you see occasionally baked into YouTube videos. You know, other than that, you can tell generally they're really producing the videos that they produce because they want to do it, because they've got some passion behind it. And I would say like the art at least is equally as important as the industry, you know, as the making money part. If not, still more so, because a lot of creators out there still don't do YouTube as a full-time job. I don't. I can't afford to. My channel is still too small. But even some bigger channels like Dave2D, if you've ever watched any of his channels, Dave Lee, he does mostly stuff based around like laptops, but occasionally smartphones. And he does these really nicely polished, I'm kind of envious as to how well he's able to condense information in his videos. He knows how to cut out the stuff that gets a little monotonous or kind of doesn't really matter and just cut straight to what are the things about that product that you should know about and why do they matter and that sort of thing. He's got, I think, 3 million or so subscribers at this point. My understanding is that he still does YouTube just as a side gig. Because he wants to. He still has a day job out there, and that's what makes him his money. And I don't know how he's able to produce as much content as he does. I think part of it is maybe he works from home, and so he's able to leverage, you know, taking a lunch break or getting up earlier, whatever, and just trying to be more efficient with his time. But, you know, finding creators like that, that even still have larger channels and they're just doing it because they want to do it, you can just kind of tell, even though it's not in your face, even though they're not in every video going, hey, you know, I don't do this full time and support me on, you know, Patreon or whatever, you know, to help me continue. Even if they're not making it clear, you still kind of get that sense that this is just someone who's passionate about the content that they create and, you know, spreading the information and knowledge that they have. And that's something that I think is really missing from mainstream media, even just within the realm of entertainment, right? I mean, you keep hearing about, you know, these movies and how much money all these actors make, millions upon millions of dollars. Like, when was the last time you heard about an actor doing a movie just because they liked the script, you know, and maybe the money didn't matter? When was the last time you heard about a big name actor doing a small scale movie or an indie movie for practically no money just because they thought that was an interesting thing to do? They were all about their craft. And I'm not trying to say that the big name actors don't care about the job they do, but again, it's the industry has pushed them in this direction of, well, you're a big name actor, you have to do these big name movies that have lots of marketing and promotion and everything behind them. Where's the art? I don't know. I feel like it's just commercialism for commercialism's sake. And I can only hope that YouTube at least manages to keep some of that, I don't want to say purity, but, you know, that honest spirit, that endearing spirit amongst its creators of, we just want to do it because we like to do it. We find it interesting, you know, and even if we didn't make money off of it, maybe some of us would continue to keep creating videos. My fear is YouTube is going to keep moving more and more commercialized, and with the algorithm, right? Everyone talks about it. No one really knows completely how it works. That it'll eventually keep favoring bigger and bigger channels and that sort of thing. And I don't think that's in YouTube's best interest. And while I have seen some changes in how videos get recommended and the criteria that you kind of, you know, it's a nebulous thing, of course, but the kind of criteria you need to follow to make a video be compelling and get, you know, recommended to people, especially on the homepage and all that, you know, that's definitely changed. But I still see a lot of independent, truly independent content showing up on my homepage. It's kind of surprising, but any given day I'll look and I'll see videos showing up there that only have a couple thousand views. You know, one would expect, now granted I'm signed into YouTube, so it's got my history of viewing habits and everything to go off of, so it knows what to recommend. So that's kind of a best case scenario. But even if you can get some of those lower viewed videos on the YouTube homepage for someone who isn't signed in, that's a good sign. It means that YouTube isn't just kind of giving up and going, well, you know, we're just going to throw all the views to like MKBHD and all the big channels and screw all the little guys. I mean, there are an increasing number of people creating independent content on whatever platform, not just YouTube, but I know TikTok is becoming huge. And I'm not even thinking about potentially doing content on TikTok just because that's a little too social of social media for my taste. But I'm just hopeful that at least we can kind of continue to push in that direction, like the yin versus the yang, right? We've got the big giant entertainment industry, which keeps consolidating more and more, right? These big studios gobble up other big studios and everything. I mean, look at all that Disney owns now. It's kind of sickening in some ways. And with streaming services kind of splintering out, you know, it used to be years ago where all you really needed was Netflix and you could watch pretty much all the content you wanted. Now Netflix has hardly anything and you need to have Disney Plus and Paramount Plus and all the other, you know, whatever independent, you know, individual, I should say, streaming services that each studio runs, you know, HBO and all that, you know, all that stuff is kind of duking it out in one corner. And I'm just hoping that we'll continue to have YouTube. It's a heavyweight. And I know that disturbs some people as to how big YouTube is and how influential it can be. But if you look at it from the perspective of its mainstream, you know, commercial media versus YouTube, YouTube kind of needs to be that big. In some ways, that's a good thing because that's the only way that it can have the relevance that it has to try to gain those eyeballs, to try to at least draw people to its platform. It's why all of the YouTube competitors had generally failed. You know, they've tried, oh, well, we can do, you know, be better than YouTube. We'll pay our creators more and we'll have a more open algorithm that's more fair and all this kind of stuff. And like, yeah, that all is really nice to hear, but it doesn't work because they just can't grow like how YouTube grew. So in some ways, yeah, this is a defense of YouTube. I'm not going to give them a, you know, get out of jail free kind of card, because there's a lot of stuff they do that pisses me and everybody else off. But I feel like as long as we can continue to thread that needle of independent content with a wide audience, then at least we have some hope that the art can continue to matter. As always, thanks for listening.